Okay, today's daf is daf Chof Hei. We're still in the middle of the sugya on Chof Dalet Amud Beis, in which the Mishnah has introduced additional questions of what happens in Kanas Yotzi, which is how we got involved in over here in issues of Geirut or marrying a Gioret in cases where there were rumors that he had had some relations with her beforehand. And we've just gotten up to the two dots, but I told you we'd continue a little bit to discuss the issues over here. And as I mentioned yesterday, according to Rashi, the mashma'ut of the entire sugya is that the only thing that we need to take into consideration is the question of lazut svatayim. If the guy is going to take this woman, lechatchila, so then the people will say, well, that's a proof that actually all the rumors about him and her were true. Since there's an inyan to be meisir me'atzmecha lazut svatayim, so because of that, it would be osir, which is mashma that in terms of the gerut per se, we don't have any problems with law. Now, because there's a braita that seems to be saying the opposite, although it is possible to even learn the braita. I mean, there's some make an attempt to learn the braita like Rashi, but most poskim, close the door, please. Most poskim Paskin Luchumra in terms of a lechatchila to be mekabel ager. Certainly, the Rambam brings that part of the inyan of the kabbalas ager is lechatchila to determine that there's no ulterior motives that are personal. However, as the Rambam himself describes in a lengthy dissertation, a very famous dissertation about what happened with Shimshon and the Shlomo and all of these cases where people appear to be married to Goyes and so on. So he says that you shouldn't think that we're talking about that they actually married Goyot, but the point is that since when they took them, there were elements of personal relationships that were involved. So because of that, the Chachomim ex post facto, even though if a ger is accepted without this bedika, and for that matter, even if a ger is accepted knowing full well that it was for purposes of znut and so on, and even though it was done by a beit din of head yotot, people would generally, you know, if you, what do I need to go to the beis din and the rabbanut and get all messed up for? Well, I've got three friends together and I'll make my girlfriend Jewish, right? And lamaisa, that's a perfectly valid procedure, bidiavad. However, the Chachomim considered these, not the Chachomim, the Torah talked about them as if they were goyot because of the fact that sort of retroactively we could see, because they didn't really accept mitzvot, they were still worshipping Avodah Zarah, we see that they were acting as spies, that they weren't really interested in being Jewish. So in all those cases, the Torah speaks of them as if they are goyot. However, says the Rambam, in terms of the halofa, they are gerim gemurim. Kedushin is kedushin. You're chayef to give them back their aveda, and so on and so forth. And there's no, just because it was done wrong doesn't mean that b'diavad it shouldn't be considered to be binding. Very, very famous and powerful Rambam. So there's also another issue, which is even if we hold that the problem over here is lazut svatayim, as I mentioned yesterday, in cases where there would be no problem of lazut svatayim, let's say a man and a woman, let's say a Jewish man and a non-Jewish woman, have been living together as man and wife for many years, and he's not trying to talk about lazut svatayim over them, and they're ready to be married whether or not she's Jewish. This happens very, very often. So then they come along and say, okay, now we'd like to be Jewish. What are you going to say over there? That the reason that they're being there all of a sudden is because now he's decided he's not going to continue living with her as if they're married. Apparently they really want to be married at this point. Certainly not going to say it's lazut svatayim on something that is written up as if they're married. I mean, what's the shaila? The Maisa, the Sri Deyesh even writes that used to be you said such things we'd have to send to the Gedalei Ador and the Benzes, but now it's become a davar shel pashtus, because since in the generations before this has again and again been paskin to be mutter, and even according to the Rambam that you're supposed to be Beidik and that's how we paskin and so on, but maybe this is considered to be b'shas hadchak. People are already living together, and the Rambam himself has a tshuva about similar circumstances, such as the case of somebody who's been living with a shivcha. You know, should he be meshachra the shivcha, at least, or at least he's living with a Jew? You're not supposed to be man. You're being mechazik alazus v'sayra. He said, fine, but it's certainly a more kedai that he should be over that one time on being meshachra a shivcha or being mechazik alazus v'sayra and not live a life of living in the closet. You know, what kind of life is that? Constant involvement in this and so on. So he says that now it's become makubal not even to need to present such a question in front of a best. And it's a double portion that we do that. And in fact, it has become very, very much the minhag in most places that the rabbanim will be megayer a couple like that. There are shailas lamais about whether when they go and they remarry, so to speak, if they get married as Jew, whether there's an inyan to be mevorach. Their question of Sheva Brachas, that's an inyan because she's new to him and it's all exciting and fresh. And Rav Lesner didn't say the Bar Yalta was like a Sveik Sveik at the Chlal. First of all, she isn't new. And besides that, you have all these shailas about what it's really mutter to do. But it wouldn't make a Brachas. But in any event, certainly there were nobody would say that the Geirus per se is not a kosher Geirus once it's done. And most folks would actually perform such a Geirus. As long as it's not Shaykh Lesson Svatayim, where they're already been married, for years. Continues the Mishnah. The other case we have is Hanit'an al Eshet Ish. And so let's take a look once again in the Mishnah just to get the case straight. Hanit'an al Eshet Ish. Somebody, rumors were going around that a certain gentleman had been having relations with a married woman on the sly. Votzi'ua mitachat yado, which sounds like the Beis Din forced the man to divorce his wife. Votzi'ua Loshon Rabim. Afa pisha kanaso, then the man who was rumored to have had these relations went ahead and married her. Yotzi, we force him to get rid of her. Because as we know, there's an Isser D'Oraisa, which is learned from the Venitma, the extra Venitma in the Parsha of Sota, to tell me that the Boel is also considered to be Osir on her, not only the Baal. Now, Omar Rav, what we're talking about over here is Davka Be'edim. In other words, we're talking about where the guy who married her, he is known to have slept with her as a married woman before with witnesses, not just rumors. Omer of Sheshes, I don't know, but I tell you, Amina Kinayim V'Shachiv Rav Amar La'ayishim. The most charitable thing I can say is that Rav was probably half asleep when he said this, because, I mean, if he was fully conscious, then he has to be locked up for saying something so crazy. The Tanya Hanit'an al Eshet Ish Votzi'u, I mean, what does it say over here in the Mishnah? Someone who is rumored to have been sleeping with a married woman, Votzi'u al Yado v'nitgasha mitachet yedei acher. Now here is a brayta that adds to our Mishnah. What happens is the guy, the husband, is forced to divorce her, and she goes ahead and marries now somebody else. That somebody else now dies, and now the original person who was rumored to have slept with her is Karnas, Lo Yotzi. Now then he doesn't have to divorce her. Now I ask you, please explain the case to me. If we're talking about there are witnesses, so there's an issue d'oraisa for this Boel to be living with this woman. I don't care how many other people have married her in the interim. That doesn't somehow bimachshir her in any way. So what's the difference? Kiyata hachavavske lekala mayhavi. Who cares if somebody came in the middle, and because of that people stop blabbing about it because now she's got the whole affair seems to be over. So who cares? Is an Issa D'Oraisa. El Olav, it's got to be talking about the Leka Eden. There are no witnesses. Since there are no witnesses, and it's talking about that somebody else came along now and married her in between, so they're no longer talking about this torrid love affair. And if that's the case, the word Vahotzi'uha is wrong. It should say Vahotzi'a. And indeed, they changed the gears of Vahotzi'a because Vahotzi'uha would mean Beis Din forced them to divorce her, which would mean there were witnesses. We're trying to say now there were no witnesses. Okay, so He didn't, the husband obviously wasn't too pleased with these rumors. He divorced his wife. She went ahead and got married to somebody else. Now this guy dies or divorces or whatever, and the original subject of the rumor now comes and marries the woman. Now it's years later. So there, it says he does not have to divorce her. Why? Because someone else had come along and been mafsig the kol. People said, oh, I guess the affair is over. But halavachi, had it not been for that middle guy, then we would have had to get him away from her forcibly, to force a divorce, and even though, halavachi mafkinan, even though we're talking about that there are no edim, because if there were edim, obviously there would be no way that we could leave him with her, even if there had been somebody in the middle. So how does Rav understand that? Rav could say to you that the point over there is not that we're allowing him to keep her only because there's somebody in between. If Lekha ate in, the truth is we would have allowed him to keep her anyway. The truth is, in that case, even if somebody had not come in between and married her, only Iika Adam Mafkina ni Lek Adam no Mafkina. The only way we would have forced them to get divorced anyway would have been witnesses. So you're telling me, so what's the point of talking about the guy in the middle since he's irrelevant? Because Ahikomar, the point is the opposite. That Afa gav the Ata Achav Avskilakala, even though you'd say, okay, look, this is what, it's 5 years ago that people were talking about us. Somebody else, meanwhile, has married her. She's got a whole different life. Now that guy died. You're telling me because of those old rumors I can't marry her now? Yeah, that's exactly what I'm telling you. But Chathchila, you can't marry her. The point over here is, okay, if you did, we won't be motzi. That would have been true even without the guy in the middle. The chiddush is that we're still telling you the only way you can have her is if you took her against the law, then we won't take her away. But we'll never be matir her for you, despite the fact that somebody else was in the middle. That's the point of discussing the guy in the middle. Not for the heter, but for the chiddush of the yisr. Even though somebody comes along now and therefore ends the rumors and marries her, nonetheless, he should not take her lechatchila. Only if he took her, we don't force him without Aiden, we don't force her out. So far, Rav can defend his position that the only time we will force the guy, the Boel, the putative, well, not putative, according to Rav, the true Boel with Aiden, then we'll force her out. Basically. Babe devarim amurim b'she'in labanim. Aval yesh labanim lo tekseh. When do we say that we should force her out? That's only if there were no children from the original marriage. But if there are children, so now we're going to force her out from this guy, then we're substantiating the rumors. But if we substantiate the rumors, then we're saying that those children are likely mamzerim. So we don't want to do that. We don't want to create a situation where people are talking about the kids, that their mom's there. So there, for the sake of propriety in terms of the nitan, we're not going to do things that will cause damage to the future of the children. But imbo edim, however, if ede tuma come along and there's nothing to do, then it's an issur d'oraita, and then afilu yesh la kama banim, then she has to be divorced from the second guy. Now, excuse me, Rav. I mean, here it's saying, when the Adim come, then he, but in the only case we would have said that we shouldn't be motzi if there were children, the Mishnah doesn't say anything about children. And you're saying that the Mishnah is talking about Bo Adim. But Farish, not like the way the Bryce explains. Bryce is saying the only point of Adim is where there's children, then we need Adim to be motzi because we're going to be causing damage to the yichus of the children. So why do you say that the Mishnah is talking about under any circumstances we will only say that he should be yotzi because there are Adim, but without Adim there's no problem? That's because Rav learns that the Mishnah is talking about a case where there are children. That's the whole point. So Rav, Mukila, Lamasisin, B'yesh Labanim, So Rav is talking about where this woman had children from her husband, and therefore we do not want to substantiate the rumors unless we have to. If they're Aiden, they come along. Therefore, says Rav, what does it mean when it says we force the Nitan, the Boel, to divorce her? Dafka, if there's witnesses, because otherwise we're worried about the kids. And since, I mean, what forces Rav to make such a catch in the Mishnah? Where does it say in the Mishnah they're children? Why does Rav have to say the case is that there aren't children, therefore it's talking about Boel? And take the Mishnah Kipshuta. The Mishnah is talking about without children from the marriage. And we're just dealing with the pure, simple case. We boil it down to this one, but we have to involve an additional technicality, which is really irrelevant to the issues involved. Let's learn the Mishnah Kipshuta. No children. Now the Shaila is, are we motzi on the basis of rumors or not? That's all Zerav should say. We'd be motzi. What does he have to kvetch Arayin into the Mishnah that there are dafka children and therefore we're talking about Aiden? I mean, it's an unnecessary complication. It asks the Gemara, so explain to me, my duchke to Rav, what is pressing, so pressing on Rav? L'ukmi l'masizim b'yesh l'abanim, to insist, even though the Mishnah doesn't say anything about it, to insist that the Mishnah is talking about that she had children from the first marriage, and therefore the only reason we're going to make her get divorced from the Nitan is because yesh l'edim. So time at Hike Dim Afkinin, like Idim Lom Afkinin, because we wouldn't force the divorce without witnesses because of the problem of the children. Just keep the case simple. Look with Bajain Labanim. So say we're talking about just a woman who was married, no children. And now the rumors go out that she's sleeping with this other guy. And therefore, Afagav the Lekaidim. So we would say because of the Chashash, we don't want people to say that indeed it's we don't want now, because of his marriage, to confirm that and say, look at this, indeed they must have been sleeping together. Varaya, the moment she got divorced, he grabs her, and that's us, sir. So we divorce her. You know, it's as if we know that they were together before. Well, my brother, Rav had no choice. Rav said the only way to understand the Mishnah is that there's children. What made him say that? Because Matnit and Kashit, they had a problem with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, V'hotzi'uha al yado, that because of the rumors of the relationship of this guy with this married woman, Bezdin forced him out, forced her out. So in other words, they forced the Baal to give a get. Now, kol hotzi'uha, that word hotzi'uha, by definition, means through another agency, in other words, through Bezdin. Not Hotzi'ah, not that the Baal divorced her, but that the agency, meaning the court, forced a divorce, right? But for Bezdin to force a divorce, they need Aiden. So Beidin, Beidim with the Mafke. So therefore, Rav said, so why is the Mishnah talking about with Aiden? Oh, must be indeed that the Mishnah is referring to a case where there were Banim, and therefore we're only forcing her out because of Aiden. Because otherwise, why would the Mishnah not discuss it? So therefore, Rav says, okay, the Mishnah therefore obviously is talking about a case, the Yesh Labanim, because otherwise it could have kept it simple also. It could have said Otsia, or it have to say Otsi'ua. That's one approach. The other approach is what we could also say is that the truth is, Vibhaisema, we could make it a machlokas. We could say that Hani Masnaisa, all the indications that we brought earlier that we would require a edus in order to force the person who was claimed, the Nita'an, who was claimed to be the Boel, out, that we don't need, in other words, and Rav is saying we do need, is indeed a machlokas. And there is a shita that says that we would have the guy go out without Aiden. But it's not Rav Shita. That's a machlokas, and that's going according to Rebbe. So Hani Masnaisa, all of those other cases that imply that without Aiden, such as the case where the other guy came in the middle, where we said clearly, or the case of the Braita that says, if there are children, then you need Aiden, but otherwise it's not. All of that's going according to Rebbe. Why? Because Rebbe holds that suspicion with sufficient indication that some kind of hanky-panking is going on is sufficient to, and now there's a very big machlokas, to what? Tosfos says, to force the boel to divorce her, not to force the baal to divorce her. But Rashi and other Rishonim learn to force the baal to divorce her. So it becomes now a machlokas whether you need aid in indeed throats you a bezdin. Tosfos brings raya after raya that nobody holds that bezdin will act against a husband because of rumors with substantiating elements. Okay? Big machlokas we've shown him. The pashtus of the sugya could still be, since we're talking about the boel anyway, so we could easily learn that it's the boel, and in cases where the hotziua, we could change to hotzia, and that would be not a problem. For any number of reasons. I mean, if I didn't accept Hasra, I wasn't given Hasra, he saw them through the window, whatever, you know, whatever the case. So, it's going according to Rebbe, to Tanya. Now, this is what Rebbe holds. Rochel Yotze, the Avon man is walking out of the house. Her husband walks into the house, and he finds his wife putting on her panties. Now, what the heck is the Avon man? He wasn't selling panties. So something is awfully funny. So, Rochel Yotze v'yishachol geret sinar. Amar Rebbe, hoyilu mechu'ar hadavar. Ooh, that looks pretty ugly to me. Teitze. So, he should divorce her. Rok lema'ala min hakila. No, they had commonly canopy beds. Okay, again, this is talking about the Rochel Yotze. So the Rochel is walking out of the house, and he discovers now fresh spit, or according to the Miri, other suspicious substances, on the top of the bed. Lama'ala min hakilav, the covering of the bed. Amar Rebbe, ho'elam b'chuara davar. It's pretty ugly. Who was in the bed? I mean, how did somebody obviously was lying on that bed. So, b'chuara davar, teitze. Min alayim hafuchim tachat amita. You find upside down shoes. Now, they're upside down. Obviously, somebody doesn't want the recognizable heels to be, I mean, the dirt floors, it doesn't want anybody to recognize whose shoes they were, right? So he finds them under the bed, says, Rebbe, ho'olam b'chuara davar teitze. Looks pretty suspicious to me. What are you talking about? If there's shoes there, see whose shoes there are. What do you mean? I mean, alayim hafuchim. I mean, is the Avon guy wearing shoes or not wearing shoes? What's, I mean, say, demanding, whose shoes are they under the, no. Of course, it doesn't mean the shoes are still there. I mean, that's the three bears. It's makom hamin alim hafuchim. Basically, what we find is an indication in the dust that someone had put their shoes down upside down. Well, why were they putting the shoes down upside down? So we don't. Well, somebody's interested in not being traced. And that funny Avon man was just walking out, looking awfully happy. Well, So doesn't take Sherlock Holmes to figure out that something is fishy. So it's makom min alim hafuchim. So in all of these cases, it's mechuar and teitzei. Okay, so that was according to Rebbe, teitzei, bepashus teitzei mi bala. That's how Rashi learns. Again, according to Tosfos, we'll never say teitzei mi bala unless there's a clear raya for Aiden. So therefore, this explains the machlokas. According to Rav, we require Aiden. According to, even if there's no children, according to Rebbe, we'll only require a demon in a case of children, and all of the other cases, we need a guy in the middle to be mafsik lekala. So in other words, now, again, the kala issue is itself a machlokas rishonim. The cases that we have with Rebbe are all Avon cases. Are those separate from the kala cases? Rumors. Is it one thing? In other words, where there are rumors substantiated by the Avon man, is that the point that his wife has been carrying on with other people? Or are these two separate issues? In other words, if there are rumors, despite the fact that I don't have any aid here, and or we have one of these events that take place. So, okay, there's a machlokas about how to combine the two sugyas. Are they equivalents? Are they combinatory? But whatever the case is, there certainly are places where Rebbe will require a kol, in which case we need to define what we mean by a kol, either together with these other substantiating elements or without, as the case may be. Dear President, the tea is quite good today. I haven't tried it yet, but I think perhaps you should. It has some caffeine. But thank you very much. L'chaim v'leit orerut. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehyeh bidvaro. And halacha, in terms of halacha, we paskin like Rav. Well, in terms of halacha, we paskin like Rebbe. What? Which way is it? No, halakasha. It depends on the situation, you see. Ha bekala de pasik, ha bekala de lo pasik. It depends on the type of kol that we're relying on, according to Rebbe, to be mosi. If the kol is broken by something, in other words, there's something that comes out as a defense, and people now are talking about the other side. Well, others say that, so then that stops the rumors for a while. Or there's a kol that is in mafsik. So if you have a kol that is not in pasik at all, even though leka edim, karevi, if it's a kol of the pasik, so then, if Ika Edim, and only if Ika Edim, then we paskin, that's like Rav. What defines a kolo de lo pasik at kama? So in other words, this would mean that Rav himself holds a kol will never be enough. Pasik or not pasik, right? So, but we're saying, in a case where a kol is lo pasik, then we'll be machmer like Rebbe, perhaps together with these substantiating issues. Perhaps Rebbe didn't require both, but we're past. But in other words, in terms of the psak, we're saying it should depend on the situation. So if we have a kol that's not pasik, that's strong enough to paskin like Rebbe, meaning perhaps together with Rebbe's substantiating elements, we'll paskin like Rebbe. And the kol, the lo, that is pasik, there we'll agree to Rav that we need, that is pasik, we need eight. Now, what do you call the lopasik? I mean, what defines that? Kala de lopasik at kama? Omar Abaye. So Abaye says, look, my mommy always told me, because this wasn't really his mommy, which he didn't have, but it was the woman who raised him. Omrali Aim, he used to call her Aim. Do me the mata, the rumors that go around the city. So the time for that is Yuma Upalga. It should go on basically for a day and a half. Because the women, they always find something new to talk about. If they're still on this after a day and a half, there's got to be something to it. I mean, why are they still talking about it? Well, Amana the low pasuk beni beni up. We only look at that as a kol if it hadn't stopped in between through some counter evidence. Av a pasuk beni beni a pasuk. If lemais in the middle, there was something that. But so then that's called pasuk. The lo amana the lo pasik machmas yira. However, that's dafka if it wasn't because the secret police were after the people who were talking about the local mayor. I mean, then of course people don't want to say anything because they're scared. If a pasik machmas yira, then it's not called pasik. That's machmas yira. The lo amana the leka oivim. Furthermore, we don't even consider a rumor to be meaningful unless there's nobody in town that would have an interest in creating these rumors. But if Ika Oivim, if however there are enemies in town that might be spreading rumors, so then we pay no attention to rumors. Oivim who the Afkule Lakala, that's enemies that are spreading it, why should we assume that there's any truth to these rumors? Now, Tanan Asa, Ha Motziyat Ishto Mishum Shemra, Lo Yachzir. There's a famous Mishnah that says, if a man divorces his wife because of rumors, he can never remarry her. And we tell him at the time of the get, you have to understand this is a permanent get. We will not be mater you remarriage. And the same thing is true mishum neder. He claims, oh, I love my wife very much, but she's got this terrible neder. I've taken it to Chachamim. They weren't able to be mater the neder. She's never allowed to take a shower. I really can't take it. So because of that, I'm divorcing her. Okay. So in that case, lo yachziri, divorces her, he also can never remarry her. Why? Because we're afraid that, let's say she goes and gets married to somebody else, got kids from somebody else, years later he says, oh, I just found somebody who was ready to be matter and hoping was a mistake. Never would have divorced her if I had known. Never would have divorced if I had realized that I mean, finally got witnesses, it was all a big lie, and the rumors weren't true, and so on. That's all we need. So he has now in his hands to destroy her life. 10 years later, he can go make her children mamzerim. It turned out that the get was annulled. It was all a mekachtos. So therefore, we say, look, you make up your mind right now. This is permanent. Whether or not it'll turn out otherwise, you've made up your mind. You don't want her anymore. So in those cases, lo yachzir. Shalach le rabba baruna le rabba barav nachman. Yelamdenu rabbeinu, since we're holding in the sugya of what happens if somebody is over on taking a woman back that he's not supposed to take back. What would be the din in this case? It's an interesting thing. Lo yachzir, because of a din the Rabbanan made, not to be marzer in order to avoid problems, but there weren't problems in this case. It was 2 weeks later, the guy found out that Lamaisa, there was a heter to the netter. It was very much on the up and up. It's clear he really didn't want to be divorced, and he gave her the get out of a mistake. And so how about in that case, he went ahead and he remarried her. So, I mean, does he have to be motzi because the Rabbanan said lo yachzir? Or in this case, once he took her, he can keep her. Omar Leit Tanina, that says in the Mishnah, it says, Hanitana Leishet Ish, Lotziyu Mitachat Yado, Afa Pishikan As Yotzi. Omar Leit, I said, what are you talking about? What kind of crazy, I mean, this has nothing to do with the Mishnah. Ami Dami, Hatam Hotziua. Over there, the Mishnah says, Hotziua. Hotziua, we said, means Aide Basement. That means that there were witnesses. But witnesses, obviously, it's an incident arise, what I mean. Of course, he has to be Motziya. I'm telling you, the guy divorced her because of the Shemra, not because we're Aiden. So, what's that have to do with the Mishnah? Rabba Bar Rav Nachman, who brought a riot from the Mishnah, his girsa in the Mishnah was, in fact, Hotzi'ah tonight. Not that there were witnesses. That stum, the Baal had been Motzi because of the rumors, and nonetheless he was learning. The Baal is Motzi because of the rumors. We're still without witnesses. We're still going to be Motzi. Which basically we said before, maybe Rebbe. Tanan. So the case over there was Hotziua. Vakati says the Gemara. Even let's say Hotziua, not Hotziua. Let's say. It's still not similar. I mean, Archa, Baal, Vasam, Boel, no kind of connection over there. The guy that was the source of the rumors, I mean, he's the guy that takes her. I mean, you're telling me, what connection is that to a case where the husband takes her back because he found out that there were no problems? I mean, it's the exact opposite. If the guy who was the subject of the rumors that he's been now sleeping with, there's a married woman, takes her, that substantiates the rumors. If the husband takes her back, so that says basically to people, apparently he looked into it and it wasn't true. He was certainly willing to get rid of her when he thought it was true. So if he's taking her back, he must have discovered that it wasn't true. It's the exact opposite. So, I mean, maybe that's the whole point of the Mishnah. We don't allow him to keep her because of the inyanim of Lazar Svasai. So substantiating such rumors is usur. But with a Baal, maybe the Baal allowed a rabba. I mean, it would be fine to take her back. I mean, if he took her back. I mean, obviously, we can't let him because that would create the problems with the get in cases where she married. Or Marley, so what? You know, you're talking about the reasons, but the question is, we have to deal with it in terms of the Isser. Shaper Domi Adad. It still is a good Raya. Because the question is very direct. You don't have to look into the underlying assumptions. The question is, when the Rabbanim create an Isser of marriage, is that Isser binding even if the guy went ahead and had already married her now? That's what you're asking. What do I care what the logic is? The point is, the Rabbanit said, this husband is also to marry her. Over there, the Rabbanit said, this Boel, or putative Boel, is also to marry her. In the case of the putative Boel, we say, since the Rabbanit said not to marry her, They need to get divorced. No. It's the same thing over here. So Hacham Rabbanan lo yichnos v'imkanas yotzi. Did the Mishnah not say that in a case where the Rabbanan said you can't take her, if you take her, we force a get? So Hachinami, I'm Rabbanan lo yachzir v'imkanas yotzi. I mean, maybe that they should just look at the din. The din is that included in an Isser of Knesa is a Chiyav of Otsah, even though we're dealing with the Rabbanan. V'lohi. It's absolutely not the case. It's not a simple black or white proposition over here. Hocha aminu kambe bekala. Hatam alumi alme lakala. Obviously, there when the Boel takes her, the Boel is now strengthening the rumors. Whereas hocha aminu, over here we say, kambe bekala velese. The husband who was willing previously to get rid of her is now taking her back. It must be that he already discovered that it wasn't true, and it doesn't make sense to compare the two cases. Hamevi get mimdinat hayam v'amar b'fanay nichtav v'fanay nechtam lo yisa et ishto. Now we're bringing additional cases which lead into the questions of a personal taking a woman that you're not supposed to, can you keep her or not? One interesting case is where you were involved in the heter of this woman. Now, somebody who brings a get in Eretz Yisrael is simply acting as a FedEx service, basically. His ne'amonas, his personal involvement, is zilch. He's delivering a get. What does he know? But if somebody who brings a get in Medinat Hayam, the Gemara, the Mishnah says in Gittin, that you have to also testify that the get was signed in front of you, because there's reasons over there, machlokas. Let's say the reason is because they're not bekeen in the need to write a get lishma, and therefore, once you are able to testify that this get was written in front of you, that already gets to the other questions of, does it was written properly? Was it written specifically for this person? So there your testimony is required. So then that makes you already a party to the delivery. Once you're a party in being matir this woman, you shouldn't marry her now that she has the get. Suppose now you are a witness that says that her husband died. Or perhaps, I mean, you're even a better witness. You could say, I killed him. So now, since I killed the husband, she's now completely muteret. Or haragnu, we all killed him. We'll see what the difference is in the cases. Lo yisat ishto. No, can't rely on you to marry the wife. We'll see. To what? The connection over here is because we started with the question of Yibum in the case of the Mishnah where there were multiple brothers and they went ahead and took without permission. They were Miyabim before waiting for the Chalitza, where they both took, and now the Yibum took off the Zika. So the Mishnah over there said, Im Kanas Lo Yotzi. Once we opened up that Sugya, we started talking about where else do we find this idea, Im Kanas Lo Yotzi, with the Rabbanan Asard? But the current status is that there's no 100% Isser, so we'll have to allow the marriage to continue. So no melo, we got into all of these other cases that are similar to Im Kanas Lo Yotzi. But it doesn't have a direct connection to you. Now, Ravi Yehuda says, Haraktiv Lutinasa Ishto. If he says, I killed him, then his wife cannot get married at all. Forget about the question of whether he can marry her, because he basically, in saying that he is a murderer, is saying that his testimony is not acceptable, because we cannot accept a Rosh's testimony. If he said, Haragnuhu, we killed him, then Tinasei Ishto, then his wife could get married, but of course not to him, and that I agree with you, because we need to rely on his testimony to be matir her. And that's a problem, as it was, even if he would have just said he had died, irrelevant of whether he had killed him. Now, says the Gemara, Taimed b'minat hayam, le'alei kasamchinam. You'll note that the entire problem in the opening of the Mishnah is that since we need to rely on his testimony, it is unseemly that he should be the one that is now going to go and marry this woman. However, had he just been the delivery of the get, here it's Israel, we're over there, he does not have to say, we're not relying on him. In that case, there would be no problem of Isat Ishto, because he's simply the bearer of a get. The problem is that the Mishnah says, where the next case of mate, where he is the bearer of the tidings of the death, the lava like a samchina, we're not relying on him over there either to say something about it other than the information. And here too, he bears the written information. So it's a question of bearing oral information, written information. Over there we say the Omar Mar, we're not really relying on what he's saying, obviously, because he can't be matir and eshatish and allow her to marry someone if she's known to be married on the basis of one person anyway. And the real reason that we're allowing her to get married is the Omar Mar Isha Daika Uminsava. Because since this woman is going to be in such a horrific position of losing both first and second husbands and any type of income, if she would go ahead and marry somebody else while her husband was alive, we assume that the job that she does is absolutely reliable when she discovers to her satisfaction that her husband indeed is dead. That's why we're letting her get married, not really because he's a witness or of any kind. So, in which case, what's really the difference between carrying the get and carrying the information that then just simply triggers on its own the heter of marriage? In the case of the get, it's the shtar. In the case of the information about the death, it's the investigation of the woman. Answers the Gemara, there's a big difference. The difference is that hatam leka ketava, hacha ika ketava. The existence of a written document makes indeed all the difference in the world, because the Tnan, as the Mishnah itself explains, and there it's talking about the idea in Gittin, that there are people that are not reliable for them to say that we saw that your husband died. For instance, her mother-in-law. Her mother-in-law wouldn't mind too much if she ended up losing both her husband and the other man. And so when she says, oh, my poor son, and then the son comes walking in the day after the wedding to somebody else, and she just smiles and is very happy. So we don't allow her to testify, even though normally we accept even a person who's possible for testimony. But when it comes to her mother-in-law bringing her a gate from her son, over there, even though she has to say b'fanayim, and she's bringing it from Medinat Hayam, we do accept it. Now the Mishnah explains, and why is that? And it itself speaks out this distinction. Ma ben get l'mita, shaktav mochiach. Basically, we're just relying on what is written. We don't need to be sumich on you personally and what you're saying at all. So, go on and we say, mate, if the person testifies that he died, or he says, I killed him, or he says, we killed him, he himself cannot marry that wife, say the Rabbana. Lo yisat ishto, because Rabbi Yudah said, nobody can if he said he killed him. But Tanakam says he's the only one that can't marry. As who knew de lo yisat ishto, he's the one who can't marry. Hola akatimase, but we would accept his testimony as being reliable, despite the fact that he says that I am a murderer. We don't care. And we accept his testimony. But did not Rabbi Yosef say that if somebody claims ploni ravani la'onsi, he claims that someone homosexually raped me, and I was not a willing participant. I was a rape victim. So then he is a witness against the rapist, and another witness would then be sufficient to bring the witness to din. The mitztarfim la'hargot. But if he says, well, so-and-so did his thing, but I was a willing participant, then he says, l'ritzoni, well, then he's saying that he's a rasha, because such an act is prohibited. And the Torah said, al tashet riyotcha im rasha liyot et chamas, in which case his testimony is invalid even vis-a-vis the other person. Forget about himself. So why over here when a person is saying he's a murderer, is he still accepted? We're over there where the person says, I've engaged in Isurei Arayot. Is he not believed? Maybe you'll say there's a big difference. Because look, when it comes to Edut Isha, we don't really expect you to have kosher witnesses. V'araya, we believe a single witness. When would we believe a single witness for anything else? So the whole thing is basically a trigger for the idea of the woman's own investigation, which is what we're really relying on. Problem is that Amar Rabbi Menashe said that although we are Mako, when it comes to Edut Isha, there's a limit to how much we're Mako. We're Mako to accept that which we ourselves said is possible, which is a Gazlan mid Rabbonan. So the Rabbonan said, okay, we won't be mocked, but on the Gazlan the Rabbonan, in a case of Edut Isha. What's a Gazlan the Rabbonan? Somebody who doesn't really go and steal, but he makes his living off of, let's say, cockfighting and things like that, and bets that are placed so that we view that as similar to Geneva, since he's taking advantage of people's belief that they know what they're talking about. And over there, the Rabbanan said, okay, when it comes to Edut Isha, we don't want a woman to be in a position of being an aguna. His testimony is sufficient to allow her to remarry. But a Gazan, the Divrei Torah, a guy is an actual Gazan, sticks up people, takes their money. I mean, that's a Pasul Midiraisa. How can we be matir that for Edut Isha? And that would be Pasul Edut Isha. So over here, this person who now is saying he's a murderer, it's pretty much a Pasul Midiraisa, huh? And nonetheless, we're saying over here, we accept his testimony, and another person can marry her, just he shouldn't, because, well, we don't want to rely on him. Nothing to do with the fact that he murdered, but when somebody is the bearer of the information that is matir a woman, it seems unseemly for him. So even if it was made that the guy had died on his own or fallen into the water or whatever, we wouldn't have allowed him to marry. So shall we conclude that indeed Menashe, who says this distinction between a gazlan de divrehem and a Gazan D'Araita, is actually only correct alibi to Rabbi Yehuda. Because it's Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah who said, oh no, if he said he's a murderer, we can't trust him. But indeed, Rabbi Menashe, it could not fit the Rabbonan Shita. I'm a Rabbi Menashe, nonsense, said Rabbi Menashe. Of course I'm saying it according to the Rabbonan. The reason that the Rabbonan say over here that the testimony about his being a murderer is acceptable is because of the fact that we do not believe his testimony insofar as he's saying he's a murderer. We only believe his testimony insofar as the fact of the other person's death. The fact that he is the murderer, that is something that he cannot say. And that indeed follows the Shita of Rava, which is exactly the opposite of what Rav Yosef about the homosexual rape. It's exactly the machlokas that occurs over there in that sugya, because Rava said, even if the guy came along and said, I was a willing participant in that relationship, we split the ne'amanut because we cannot accept what he's saying about himself. So, Adam karov etzel atzmo, a person is related to himself in the most intimate way, and we do not accept the testimony of related individuals. Ein adam isim atzmo rasha, a person cannot create a testimony against himself to make himself the Rasha. Even though we do say a person who is moda, it's as if we have 100 witnesses, that's only a reference to he's moda that he owes money. So there he can create that chiyav, but not, excuse me, but not to create a psul on himself. Therefore, when he says, I was a willing participant in this other person's homosexual intercourse, we only hear the part about the fact that the other person had engaged in such intercourse. We hear nothing about himself. As far as he's concerned, we view him as an innocent victim, and he remains not guilty, and therefore his testimony is perfectly valid against the other person. And therefore, Rava says it makes no difference whether he said it was willing or whether he was a victim. It's exactly the same thing. And so our Mishnah, says Rav Menashe, is following that Shita. But if, in fact, a person would be the Rasha, and he was a Gazlan, D'Oraita, we would not accept him for Edut Isha. Over here, this person who's a murderer is not a murderer. Who's the one who says he's a murderer? He does. We don't hear it. Uh-huh.
But then, in other words, Rav Yosef, who said that indeed we would not accept the guy's own testimony about it, about the other person, once he made himself a Rasha and said he was a willing participant. So in this case where he said he's a murderer, we would accept his testimony as a murderer, and therefore we would not allow anybody to marry on the basis of such testimony. In which case, Rav Yosef essentially only works out according to Rabbi Yehuda. And that's exactly what Rabbi Yehuda says. I'm sorry, if you say you killed him, then we do not accept your testimony. Amalek Rav Yosef said, Rav Yosef, on the contrary, you have it all wrong. As far as it's concerned over here, I would certainly say that we would accept this murderer's testimony. Not because we don't think he's a murderer. We do think he's a murderer. But because when it comes to Edut Isha, Rav Menashe has got it all wrong. We will accept Edut Isha even from a Rasha D'Oraisa, Gazan D'Oraisa, or a murderer D'Oraisa. So, Shaini Edut Isha, Da'kilu Barabonon, it's Rav Menashe who only works out a Libet Rabbi Yehuda. And that's the machlokas over there. Rav Menashe, in fact, he says we will not accept a Gazan D'Oraisa. According to him, we won't accept a murderer D'Oraisa. The only way he can make it work is a Libet Rabbi Yehuda. And that's because he misunderstood the whole sugya. Now, Rabbi Yehuda said there's an afkamina, whether he killed him alone, whether he killed him with other people. What is that? I'm a murderer, but, you know, the two of us together sawed off his head. So that should be okay. I mean, then he's not a Rasha. Mashna raknu. What's an afkamina? How many people pulled the trigger? I mean, the point is he's saying I'm a murderer. Rabbi Yehuda, no. Haragnu means that I was there with the group that killed him, but I didn't lift a finger. So what they would call an accessory after the fact here, I mean. But I didn't do anything. So, Rav Yehuda b'omer, ani hayiti im horgaf. That's not what Rav Yehuda means, but, or, I mean, there's two ways of reading this, the Vahatanya. Vahatanya, we could read, Amru lo Rav Yehuda. So again, this was Uriah. There was a case of a certain listim. Now, the word listim, as we're going to see when we're being medayik, is mashma, that he himself is the criminal. And he was about to be executed. This was in the Kapotkia area. And he told them, this is in the Barnea's neighborhood, and he told them, as he was on his way to the chair, he said, listen, tell that poor wife of Shimon ben Cohen, I killed him, so she's okay to go get married. She shouldn't wonder what happened to her husband. He's on the bottom of the East River. I mean, so tell Eshet of Shimon ben Cohen, Ani harakti et Bala, I murdered her husband, b'knisatila Lud, when I was on my way into Lud. Some say b'knisatila Lud. But anyway, they accepted the Yisiyot Ishto, and they accepted his testimony. So they asked Rav Yehuda, how do you say, Rav Yehuda, that if he said, I killed him, we don't accept his testimony? Rav Yehuda says, but fair, should say, halach l'maisa. They accepted the testimony. Amar lahem, to which Rav Yehuda replied, Mishamra, yeah. But that's a case. That's talking about where he said, Ani hayiti im hor gav. I was together with the group. I didn't personally kill him. That's what he said. So we see from here, this Vahatani would be B'nei Chuta then, we see from here a Raya, that Rav Yehuda, when he understands the word Haragnuhu, it means that I didn't do anything. I was just present. How can you say Rav Yehuda? I said, talk about he was present. I mean, we're calling him a Listim. We're calling him a Listim means he did something, no? A Listim Katani. It means he mitfasa yadei listiut. They basically took him in under the law of the anti-mafia battle. But, then why would they take him out to kill him? I mean, apparently he had done a capital offense. He must have killed somebody. No, this was a non-Jewish court. Non-Jewish court, they don't need them. I mean, an accessory after the fact is enough for them. We're going to be medayak who killed them, who pulled the trigger. It was part of the general law against the mafia. Anybody that was involved in it, they would execute. So they didn't know they could call him. The law died, Kate, and I'm the Dayak exactly. Who cares who killed him? Point is, you're no good thing. V'katli, they kill on that basis alone, it's enough. Another case would be Achacham Shasarat Aisha Beneder Al Ba'ala. A husband comes in with his wife, they're trying to find a heter for this neder that's making life for them impossible. The Chacham cannot find a heter. He says, I'm sorry, I have to learn to live with it. So now he divorces her. Arezo lo yisaena, he shouldn't marry her. Miana. But if she came in front of a Chacham to do miun or to do chalitza, then there's no problem. He's not considered to be involved in any way. In that case, there were three people that she came in front of, and therefore, what would you say? I mean, it's an impersonal issue. You have to be in the Bezdin. Say, somebody that happened to be in a Bezdin. So therefore, people can say, oh, he was in the Bezdin. They were all in cahoots. They were matir in order that their friend should be able to marry her. That we're not going to say.
Even if he's two out of three?
If he's two out of the three, we can't. He said, then he's a traitor. Having two heads is a problem anyways.
No, if he's one of the two out of the three.
Even if he's one out of the two out of the three. I'm just pulling your leg a little. Ha-hi-ti-ra. Okay, so now you're telling me now, the problem over here is that he was asered her. So obviously, if he had been matir her, then afterwards the husband died, there's no problem, right? Okay, that you're saying that's an irrelevant point. It's not irrelevant. I'll show you why it's not irrelevant. Because how was he matir her? Because he was part of the Bezdin. You need three people to be matir now. So, Subamayaskina. I mean, if we're talking about a case where he's alone, Rechad mi matzi matir, Om Rebkeh Baravanam Ravamram, Tana Atarat Nedarim Bishlosha. So now I don't get it. The first part of the mission's got to be talking about that in the same way he could have been matir her, so it must be there was a Bezdin. So now, if he wasn't matir, it's also in Bezdin. Elobitlat is with three people. I thought you'd go ahead in the mission, you say, Umi Chashidi, we're not Chashidi, but it was a Bezdin. Because that's not Miyano Shechotze Befanav Yisa'ena, Mipnei Shehu Bezdin. So we got to steer between the Reish and the Seifa. That's where I'm leading to. No, not necessarily. When he's saying it's not Shaykh to be matir Bechad, Liyoylam Bechad. It's talking about that he indeed is alone. And just like Reb Chista pointed out from Reb Yochanan in Maseches Nedarim, there are cases where a yochid can be matir and neder in a case where a yochid is a mumcha to the rabbim in Yonim of the Dorim. Ochanami, the yochid mumcha, so inokinami. The Mishnah is coming to contrast the case of a chacham that could have been matir be yochid, who asers be yochidus and is gerim the get, to the case of the miun or the chalitza, which is done dafka in the Beit Din. Miyano Shecholza says the Mishnah, Mipnei Shehu Beit Din. You're telling me it's dafka because it's Mipnei Shehu Beit Din. But if it hadn't been a Beit Din, there would have been two people, that wouldn't have been enough. Two people, we would have been choshed for kahoots. You guys are in kahoots. And therefore you were matir something so that one of you could go ahead and be nana from it. Is that true, though? Maishnami Aditnan, does it not say in the Mishnah that Edima Chatumim al Stemekach or al Geit Isha lo chashu chachomim adavrezeh, two witnesses that are signed on a contract, and now one of them goes in and buys the field from the person who, according to the contract on which he signed, is the owner, while the original owner is screaming, it's a forgery, there never was a sale, he's just trying to buy it out from under my hand, and so on and so forth. No, Chachomim are not chayshit for such a thing. There's a get in which there's two people signed. One of the persons signed on the get goes ahead now and wants to marry the woman, the original husband, and saying, the get's a forgery, this guy signed on it. The Chachomim are not chayshit with two people for such a thing, that one person would be chayte in order to be matir for the other person. So why does it say in the Mishnah, Mipnei Shehu Beit Din? The point isn't Mipnei Shehu Beit Din. The point is because we have the corroboration of an objective individual who's not involved in it, and therefore we're not chayshin. Says the Mishnah, says the Gemara, The point in the Mishnah isn't coming to tell me that because it's Beit Din and only because it's Beit Din, he is Naaman. The point of the Mishnah is to tell me that it is a Beit Din. The truth is, with two, we also would have been Maiman. However, the Mishnah is coming to tell me that in order to do Miyun, you need a Beit Din. That's the point. Lafuki Miman Di Omar Miyun Bifneshnai. There is a Man Di Omar who says, Miyun does not require the act of a court. Miyun simply needs a woman to appear before two witnesses and to say, I don't like my husband. And that's all there is to it. Kamashma, the Mishnah. Oh, by the way, Bifneshu Beit Din. The only way this could have happened would have been that he's in Beit Din. I mean, even if that would have been true, we would have been miming him. But it happens to be that it is true. To tell me, Kamashwa, Miyun Bishlosha. Now we get to the issue. And Konas, Ibarlu, Konas, Mao Sheyotzi. So what about these two cases over here? Of the Chacham who was being assuring her and therefore now wants to marry her because her husband divorced her. Or the previous case where someone was maybe gave me Medina Sayyam. In these cases we said, doesn't look good, don't marry her. How about if he did? And that of course is what we're assuming the Mishnah is here to orient us towards this question. So if Kahana Amar Kanas Motzi, Rav Asher Amar Kanas Eino Motzi, Tanilu Rav Zuti Devei Rav Papi. So Rav Zuti and Rav Papi's Beis HaMedrash, he said it over as if it was clear cut, like a brayta, Ki Divrei Omer Kanas Eino Motzi. Omer Rabbanu Rav Ashi. Where did that come from? Is that a Gemara that he had been mekabel this, or that was a Sfora? He said, it ain't no Gemara, and it ain't no Sfora. It's a Mishnah. That's the Mishnah. Hanit'an mishivcha v'nishtachra, v'yovedet kochavim v'nidgaira, harezeh lo yichnos, v'im kanas ein motzi. Why does it say, im kanas ein motzi? In the case where there are rumors that he's been hanging out with this Goyish or women. So you see from here that Alma Birnana lo mafkina, because of vicious rumors, we will not. Fine, it's all very nice if the guy is now coming to say, should I get married? No, shouldn't get married. Don't substantiate rumors. But we will not use the excuse of a rumor to tell someone to be motzi a woman that he's already taken. As opposed to the case where there may be serum involved, where you may be a boel and an ashes ish. So, achinami bernana, lamafkina, what's the yisod of the Mishnah? Rumors are not a basis, unless they involve yisr, are not a basis of being motzi a person from a person that he's married. The question, by the way, Tosfos brings this up earlier, at the beginning of the sugya, how about someone who is nit'enet on a pnuya? Is there an issue over there of don't substantiate rumors? People say this guy has been hanging out with this girl for a long time and they're not married. So now if he goes in and marries her, that seems to be substantiating the rumors. So it does on the contrary. There's a mitzvah to substantiate those rumors in a sense, right? Because if you've raped a woman, so the Torah is mechayev of you to marry her. Why don't we say, I mean, on the contrary, the Torah should say, no good, not nice. Okay, so that means that we want you to take care of a woman that you've basically been sleeping with. So as long as there's no iser that's involved, so then it's even a mitzvah to take her. That starts as a shita. Others learn, it's not a mitzvah, but it's not similar to rape, but it's certainly not an iser in terms of calling that substantiating vicious rumors. As long as there's no real iser involved. But how about where we're talking about where there would have been an iser of nidot involved? As well, but there are people who are saying, they didn't even care, they just been hanging out together, sleeping together, shacking up together, no makpara on the chiyav of nidos or anything. Maybe over there in Avinami, we would say that is a vicious rumor. This is machlokas, we showed him how far we would go on that one.